Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes, back in the house once again. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. You are now officially talking with TD. Awesome show lined up for you today. As always, forever Titan wide receiver Chris Sanders will come on, run TMC. We'll talk a little shop there. We got my guy, man. We call him the GOAT around the NFL Nation world. That's ESPN NFL Nation Patriots reporter Mike Reese. And above all else, my man, D Nice. I'm going to start calling you D Nice.
Let's do it.
Let them know who you are.
What's up, y'all? My name is David James.
That's
here.
Right.
We're ready to do this talking with TD as always, man. I am so excited. 2 weeks in a row I'm here, man.
That's man.
About to be lit.
D Nice is in the building. That's right.
Let's go.
Well, yeah, that's probably the most exciting part of this segment
because we have to
go back and look at this game. The 6-game win streak is officially over. The 8-game losing streak is over for the Texans. My, another first that the Titans have allowed. Tyrod Taylor scored a touchdown there, and it was the first touchdown on the road the Texans have had since week 2 against the Titans. It had to happen. But yeah, I think overall, you know, we look at the numbers, and obviously we know stats are a lot like bikinis, right? They show a lot, exactly. But not everything.
That's true.
Let's look at these stats here. Collectively, 25 carries, 103 yards. Adrian Peterson led the way, 9 carries, 40 yards. He could have had more. That one where he fumbled, it was blocked up pretty well, and he fumbled it, and he's not here anymore.
Yeah, he's here.
But,
Titans legend.
Yeah. Briefly. But when you look at the running backs, I think, you know, just trying to skip through this rather quickly, Dontrell Hilliard showed me some things, and I thought it was pretty impressive how he was able to come in. Mike Vrabel commented about it, just learning the third down situation, because he was, in essence, the third down back.
He was.
And he picked up. I mean, Tannehill targeted him 10 times. A lot of that was checking it down. Mm-hmm. He caught 8 of those for 47 yards. Of course, he had the fumble that Anthony Firkser recovered in the end zone. 7 carries for 35 yards. A lot of people were calling for Deontay Foreman, and rightfully right? You get a big guy, and after seeing, you know, Derrick Henry do what he does, you want a big running back. But
I remember I saw him do the stiff arm. I was like, my gosh, here we go.
9-yard gain. Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. He was running.
I actually tweeted about that, too. I was like, is he becoming Derrick Henry now? What's going on?
Hey, man, the helmet on the stick. They use that in practice, and it transferred over. But a lot of people were calling for him, and I get it.
Yeah.
I think in this game what they did was ride the hot hand.
Yeah.
And Hilliard, you know, you look at the numbers, 7 for 35 as opposed to 7 for 25. Mm-hmm. He had a better game carries-wise. Yeah. But then there was also a play where Foreman went the wrong way.
Yes.
And when those things happen as a coach, you know, like, hey, I got to rein you in. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Adrian Peterson with the fumble. So that's why the snap count was so jaded towards Hilliard's side of things. And then Tannehill, 2 carries for 3 yards. But I think what we have to look at is the passing game because, you know, it struggled, right? Yeah. Tannehill, you know, he passed for 323 for 4 interceptions. I'm not going to put all those interceptions on Tannehill.
I wouldn't either. It was
the first one was disgusting.
It was awful.
You have to see that linebacker buzzing back into that passing lane. He didn't see Kamal Grugier-Hill. Grugier-Hill picked it off and returned it to the 6-yard line. We'll get into that in a second. Mm-hmm. The second one, and I called in and spoke to Jarrett on Monday about it because, you know, you can't pile on Tannehill. It's not all his fault.
Yeah.
That second one was on Des Fitzpatrick. You know, that's the bottom line. Fitzpatrick, you know, didn't do some things that he needed to do as far as urgently coming off the line of scrimmage, running his route with aggression, and working his way, you know, to the upper pylon in that corner.
Exactly.
In doing that, he would have cleared it out. He would have taken Desmond King away.
Yep.
King wouldn't have been a part of that play. Tannehill was looking for Chester Rogers. Fitzpatrick wasn't even the target on that one. Chester Rogers coming on the crosser. He was open. Tannehill threw it to a spot. And unfortunately for the Titans, you know, that was tangled up because King was able to come off the route that Fitzpatrick ran, the poor route, and pick it off. Now, I'm not going to dog Fitzpatrick, right? I'm not going to pile on him either. He had a very nice play. He ran the post really well. lean to the corner, open it up a little bit to give Tannehill some space, and he caught that touchdown. He had another combat catch right there in traffic on third down. So those are two positives. But the third interception was another one. And it showed on the TV copy, Tannehill was telling him, you got to move. You got to come over. Mm-hmm. And he kind of settled at the top of his route.
Yeah.
And that allowed – and there was also a bad route being sold underneath by Firkser, which Chris Sanders broke that down. And I'm going to get him to break that down. So I'm going to stop right there.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll just say that one wasn't on Tannehill either.
Yeah.
Now, the last one, you know what? You have that – corner kind of buzzing in that cover two, like that flat, but he was able to move back into that passing lane and pick off that last one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a situation. You're just trying, you're pressing, you're trying to make a play.
Yeah.
Those things happen. I'm not going to excuse it, but it's not fully on him.
Yeah.
Just as far as like, you got to understand the situation. However, he still has to play better. You know, the accuracy and the blindness at times to that linebacker underneath is definitely causing, you know, some issues.
Yeah.
And that's something that, you know, offensively they have to do better yards wise. They, you know, they did a good job. I mean, you're talking about two for four in the red zone or on fourth downs rather. 6 for 5, 40% on third downs. That's decent.
Yeah.
They can't have those situations happen. The turnovers in the red zone. That cost them a lot of points. Now, defensively. Okay, let's talk about it.
Let's talk.
You have a defense. Twice, they took over inside their own 10-yard line.
That's I don't care who you are, that's hard to do. That's like, how can you stop that?
Right.
Like, legitimately, like, it's just so hard.
It's hard when you're, like, you're getting thrown into deep water without flippers to swim, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're like,
so they had to figure it out. The first time they were able to hold the Texans to a field goal. Excellent job. Now, the next time it ended up being a touchdown, Tyrod Taylor. And that's the thing, and we talked about it on the show last week, if you remember, David. We said a guy like Tyrod Taylor makes a true 11-on-11 football.
He really does. He's such a – like
getting out of the pocket.
He finesses everyone. He was like what everyone – tries to be in the NFL now. Like, he can do that. He still can do that. And he's such a prolific passer as well. But he can run the ball whenever you give him space. Bro will just take off. And it's hard to do. It's hard to stop that when you're at your own 10-yard line.
Yeah.
And that's like your first play. And it's like,
on that play that he scored, they had it defended perfectly.
They did.
But he was able to get outside of the pocket. He showed his athleticism, his acceleration, his speed to outrun the defender and dove in there and got it into the end zone. And that touchdown was that made it 19. I think that gave him 19 points.
I think so.
That was a tough one to overcome.
It was.
Now, Jeffrey Simmons, he says, well, you know, so what? We got to hold him to field goals. And I get that. You want that mindset.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I asked Shane Bowen, the DC, about that on Wednesday, you know, and he said, yeah, I mean, regardless of whether we're on our own 1-yard line or whatever, we got to hold them out of the end zone. And you do want to have that mindset.
Yeah. You do.
But collectively, like, if you look at what the defense did, they didn't have that better. I mean, look, Texans had 190 net yards. It's all situational football. Yeah. And you know, that's a phrase that you go to a lot, but it was all situational. Why? Because when you look at how many times they had to take over, you know, inside the 10. When you look at what they did overall, they didn't get any sacks. Okay, I get it. But those things are going to happen when you are moving the pocket, when you have a guy like Tyrod Taylor who throws the ball quickly. Like, there were things that the offense was doing to keep them from getting sacks.
Yeah.
And every week is not going to be the same. The one good thing is going back to this Patriots game, they're going to get opportunities because Mac Jones is not the same athlete as Tyrod Taylor, but he still throws the ball quickly. I think with that, you know, the main thing this week, get some at the line of scrimmage, right? You need to get back to that press coverage, right? Or at the very least, you know, do something to slow them down at the line. That's really important. I think the other thing that we're looking at is being able to match hands with the quarterback. And we say that almost every week. But when you have a quick passing game like this, you have to do that because you want to make him change his arm angle, which will alter his throws.
Yes.
But at the same time, this Patriots team, you know, they've generated 13 turnovers over their winning streak. The Titans, when they had their six-game streak, 11 turnovers. Why do I say that? Because one way to find hidden turnovers, hands up at the line of scrimmage, you tip the pass. A heady player, you know, David Long, whoever that should be, Kevin Byard, somebody.
One of those guys,
pick it off. And now that's a turnover that you probably wouldn't have gotten otherwise. So those are some things to look at. At the end of the day, this Titans team is still in first place in the AFC. The good thing also, you know, the Bills obviously are nipping at the heels.
Yeah.
If they could beat the Patriots have to face the Bills twice.
Yep.
So that's kind of like a little bit of cannibalism going on there.
Exactly. It helps out a little bit for the Titans.
Because these teams will beat each other, and then that will help the Titans. But this is a pretty big game, and that's why I had made this game on our 32 for 32 on ESPN.com. Mm-hmm. I made this game, I named it as the most important game for them.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that the Patriots – you know, at that time, would end up being, you know, in contention for the top seed. But they're right there, you know.
Who would have thought? Really.
So it's going to be a tough game for them. I think the AFC South is still something that, you know, they have pretty much sewn up. So
we'll
see how that works out. We're going to go ahead and go to a break, pay these bills. We'll be right back with Forever Titan Chris Sanders. Hey, it's Teron Davenport. You ever had to sit and wait for 2 hours or longer to get new tires put on your car? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Call my friends at Freedom Tire Guys. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company that does it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. And they come to you. Your work, your job, your house, you name the spot. Head online to FreedomTireGuys.com, fill out their tire calculator, pick your new tires, and schedule your service date. It's that easy. If you don't see something you like, give them a call, and they'll find it for you. Check them out today at FreedomTireGuys.com.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
You already know what we are. Guitars. Let me get them strings. Come on. Here you go. Yeah. That's right. You hear the music. You know what time it is. Time for Run TMC. Yeah, fade that out for me, David. Fade it out. Okay, here goes the music. The lights dim. And now, starting for your Atlanta Hawks at point guard, number 25, Glenn Doc Rivers.
Well, you could. And now, singing his number one hit called Don't Worry, Be Happy. Bob McFerrin.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. You know what my favorite song? He had. I don't know if you remember that commercial he had. He'd be like, "Lele, lele, ocean spray."
What's up, man? What's up with these Titans, baby?
Hey. Well, I mean, what did Mike Vrabel say, right?
Yep.
You get caught with your hands down, you take one to the chin, and you end up down on one knee. Hey, like Boys and Men said, they're down on bended knees. But let's see how they could bounce back. Before we do that, I mean, let's get into that game. I wanted to, I kind of touched on it last segment, but I wanted to leave it to you to fully break down the play.
Yeah.
I talked about the interception, the second one. I want you to get into the third one so the folks could understand, like, you know, it's not all your quarterback. He does have to do better. Don't get it twisted, but it's not always on him. He's not the fall guy. So what you got for me?
I mean, we got to understand that the quarterback and the receiver, they both have to be on the same page. I mean, that's number one. I want to say that first. But I want to talk about one of the interceptions that everybody's like, well, why is he throwing it to him? Number one, they were in 10 personnel. Okay, 10 personnel is one back, zero tight ends, and four wide receivers. And then they were in a 2x2 set. That's two wide receivers to the boundary and two wide receivers to the field. Now, there's a concept called the smash technique. I'm not smash technique, a smash concept.
Yep.
The number one receiver, which was Westbrook, the number two guy was Firkser. Firkser runs a high corner route, or you can call it a high flag route. That's he's the number two guy. The number one guy runs the hitch. So now you got the Texans in a cover two or cover four. So when you have a cover two, the corner is playing the flat. I mean, he's playing everything that's in front of him. The safety is playing his half. So when you're the number two receiver and you're running the flag, you're supposed to keep it high to put mm-hmm. pressure on the corner. He has a responsibility to take the corner, or he can take the hitch. But the problem is when you have two receivers in the same vicinity and Ferkser doesn't keep the corner high, the corner can play two guys. So Tannehill's throwing it to a spot. He's not throwing it to the receiver. So if Ferkser doesn't get in the right spot and keep the corner high and put pressure on the corner, that's where the interception occurs.
Yep. Yeah, and to your point, because he didn't keep that high, that corner, yeah. he was able to buzz back yeah. into that passing lane and get it. And that's something that, you know, let them know who you used to face when you coached in high school. A few who used to do that a lot?
Jalen Ramsey, and he would pick it off every time. Because what the corner did, too, is he baited him. He baited Tannehill, and Jalen Ramsey is great at this. He makes you think that he's going to bite up on the hitch, and just like you said, he buzzed back just a little bit, and all of a sudden, if the number two receiver doesn't run the corner high, when I say high, get to the pylon, that corner can buzz back and pick up the interception, because look at where Tannehill throws the ball. It's exactly where the high corner should have been.
Yeah. So, and in that case, right, like that's a situation, because this was his fourth and final interception, I believe.
Absolutely. Yes,
that case, right – You're trying to press and make a play. Yeah. And that is the one situation where it's like, okay, you know what? You can press and try to, you know, make a – you always want to make a play. But what Absolutely. I'm saying is like you in that situation, you do have to press because it's really do or die. And that's what happened there. The other one, I thought you were going to get into Fitzpatrick on that curl that he was supposed to run. But, I mean, still, they showed the video where Tannehill was saying, like, yeah. you got to move. You got to get there. And
you got to get to the spot.
Bottom line, he just didn't get there. Let me also tell you this, too. I was thinking about that after watching practice on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And I want to get your take on this and just the personality, right? The type A, the alpha that you have to be to be a receiver.
Uh-huh.
And watching them practice on Wednesday, and again, I'm not trying to bag on Des Fitzpatrick at all, but it just seems like that gear, that dog is kind of missing. And I just really wonder how you would go about like bringing that dog out. You know what I mean? Like how as a coach would you go about trying to, you know how Biggie said, right? Rottweilers, I feed them gunpowder so they could devour the criminals, et cetera, et cetera. How would you approach that?
You know, first of all, I got to sit them down and understand that you got to base every route, base it off the nine. And when I say base it off the nine, if a DB, if a wide receiver, a defensive back is coming to wide receiver, what is the DB afraid of?
Deep ball.
He's afraid of the deep ball. So if you come off the ball, and he's thinking you're going deep, he's got to give some cushion. Mm-hmm. But if you're coming off the ball with no sense of urgency, with no sense of fire, no sense of drive, and no sense of attitude of thinking that you're going deep, DBs are going to sit on your route. And then all of a sudden, when you're running a nine route, then you change your mind. It's called base it off the nine, change your mind. You run the nine route, you're coming off the ball full speed with attitude, having that dog in you, then all of a sudden you break it off and run the curl. And then number two, this is football 101. As a receiver, you never stand there.
Right.
You always come back to the ball.
Right.
Beat me back to the ball. Come and see me. Because a quarterback is not throwing to you. He's throwing to a spot.
Mm-hmm.
He's throwing to a spot.
And if you look at that interception, he threw it right where Fitzpatrick was supposed to, like right there. And then to your point about selling that nine, right? Let's say he releases off the ball with maximum urgency, right?
Yeah.
That corner's going to turn and run, like open up and run. And then you pop, 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 throttle down and work your way back. And instead of being underneath you, like between you and the quarterback, you're going to be between him and the quarterback. And now you're in position to make that catch. And that throw looks totally different. So I wanted to get you to break that down so people could understand that. Now that we've knocked that out of the way, the first interception, this one is one that just is inexcusable. Exactly. It's face slappable, however you want to explain it. It was bad, right?
Yeah.
But it was on play action, the glance route to A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
How much does this offense struggle you know, with the playback action, how much does that really show the importance of Derrick Henry?
Oh, it's huge because them linebackers can sit back and not worry about the run. Because the thing about it is, just imagine if Derrick Henry was in the game and you give him the ball, those linebackers got to come up and fill those A and B gaps.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have a dog back in the backfield and you try to do play action, them linebackers are going to be like, okay, they ain't running the ball. They're going to try to pass it. So what they do is they sit in them zones. They sit in those windows.
Yep.
When I say windows, that's where they're throwing it to the receivers. Because if you look at the one where Tannehill threw the interception, who makes the interception?
Groozer Hill, the linebacker, buzzing back. And he ain't doing that with Henry in the backfield.
100%. That's how important Derrick Henry is, man. Because them linebackers are like, okay, I got a feel. Or if we let Henry have a full steam ahead of me, he's gonna run through my lips.
Exactly.
but now when you got Foreman and Hilliard, they don't scare you. So they can sit back and say, oh, they can get the ball, we're going to come up and make the tackle, and I can sit in those zones if it's a pass. So that's the importance of Derrick Henry.
And naturally, the linebackers are going to take that initial step, right?
Yes.
But it's just a different commitment, right? It's like a pretty girl and an ugly girl, right? Like you know, you just have a different commitment when you get a pretty girl. You know what I mean? And that's the same thing. But, I think when we look at Derrick Henry – and his impact, and I get it. He and Tannehill, you know, they both bring things to the table.
Absolutely.
But let's also remember, 2018 down the stretch, Derrick Henry almost single-handedly put this team in the playoffs.
I know, man.
Right? That month of December, he had darn near 600 rushing yards.
Is that crazy?
Now, granted, 200 of it was in one game. But let's not sit here and say that Derrick Henry was not explosive and really good.
Yeah.
Before Tannehill came. And that's not to take anything from Tannehill.
Right.
I just think the impact of Derrick Henry, the LeBron James-like impact of Derrick Henry, whereas he makes other people around him better, I think is really being showcased right now. Now, that's not to say, again, that Tannehill can't make other guys better.
Right.
But I think what they need to do is find more creative ways. And I know Todd Downing said, hey, listen, I don't want to jerk the wheel on the offense. That would be doing the team a disservice. I still think working in RPOs a little bit more, working in now routes, you know, and those type of screens, more of that stuff is really necessary to try to manufacture some offense.
Yeah, because the thing about it is teams are going to do what they did to Pittsburgh last year against the Titans. And this is what they're going to do. They're going to say, okay, we're going to let you get away with a couple of screens, a couple of quick passes, but then all of a sudden they're going to creep up and start pressing and take that away. So what I'm saying is, now since they got like Golden Tate or some of those other guys, they're going to have to start beating man-to-man coverage. If you start beating man-to-man coverage, then it opens so many things up because, you know, why should I come up and defend a run if the running game is not, you know, having those big runs like with Derrick Henry? So I just think that on the perimeter, and I want to be careful. Listen, when I'm talking about receivers, I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just talking about the game because it's kind of hard to talk about a receiver because I coach receivers. But at the end of the day, these guys are going to have to be technicians. It's not just about running the 4-3 or running the 4-2. It's about understanding. I need to win at the line of scrimmage. How do I win at the line of scrimmage? Getting the guy off the spot, stacking them, and after I stack them, I got to make them think I'm running a 9 route. And whatever it is, after that, I got to run the 9 route and change my mind. If they can do that, create separation, Tannehill's going to put the ball on the money. Why? Because he's going to start to develop trust with these receivers.
Yeah, and that's the main thing, you know, being able to find ways to get the ball in their hands. Now, the addition of Golden Tate, I actually asked Tannehill on Wednesday about just, you know, the free yards that you get, how much of a plus that is having a guy. Because, I mean, let's face the facts, you know, Golden Tate is a bowling ball when he gets the ball in his hands.
JP too?
He's not the same player as he was, but he still, you know, has some ability. What are your thoughts on Golden Tate? Obviously, he's on the practice squad, but what are your thoughts on what he could bring as far as helping this team?
All right, here we go. In 2014, he had 99 catches for 1,300 yards, 4 TDs, and averaged 14.1 yards a catch. Last year, he had 35 catches for 388 yards, 2 TDs, and 11 yards per catch. So what does that tell you? That means his stats are going down. He's not productive as he used to. But here's what he brings to the table is, you know, the pass rush is coming. So now he can run those quick choice routes, get the ball in his hands, and let him have yards after the catch. Even if it's just a 15, 16-yard catch, it's keeping those chains moving. So say it's third and five, third and six, he can run those choice routes, catch it, and get 15 yards after that. That's what he brings to this Tennessee Titans team.
And that's what they need. They need someone that could influx life into this offense. Because right now, like, the heartbeat is rough, man. It's rough, you know, so they got to get it together. This week against the Patriots, right, you're talking about a team that always fundamentally sound, et cetera. We don't even need to get into all that. You know what you get when you face the Patriots. That being said, what are you expecting in this game? What's the outcome?
You know what? It's so funny. I know I just got a feeling that the Tennessee Titans are going to win. I'm going to tell you why. Because their head coach is built for this. Mike Vrabel is built for this. They always had their back against the wall. Last year they had 13 guys out with COVID, and all this stuff was against them. They got the same situation around. Their offense is anemic. You know, they're going to a hostile environment. But this is what's going to keep this Tennessee Titans in the game is their defense. And look at what they did to the Rams a couple of weeks ago. They were the hottest team in the NFL. They had a hot quarterback with Stafford. They confused them. They got points scoring on defense. They didn't really score on offense. Same thing with this game. If they can get Mac Jones in, if they can have Mac Jones in the pocket and feel pressure and throw interceptions and Byard and one of those guys get interceptions to give the Tennessee Titans a short field, don't be surprised and look up that the Tennessee Titans win.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And real quick, you talk about turnovers, hands up at the line of scrimmage,
absolutely,
tip pass. That this is a week to do that. So
yep.
I like your point there. You've been pretty much on point all week, you know, even – or, excuse me, season. You know, even last week with the Texans, you know, you said they worried you. And here, look what happened, you know. So definitely I give you props on that one.
But you know what I've been on point on all week, all year is?
What?
Is that you look like Sam Cassell.
Hey, you know, I let you speak because I was definitely going to be like, you know, you've been on point and now you look like Teddy Pendergrass. But we're just going to let it ride. Teddy Pendergrass minus the puffy beard.
TD, I appreciate you, man. I love what you do on ESPN, man. And I'm telling you, you got the best knowledge around town, boss.
Oh, no. If I'm the smartest in the room, I need to get out. That's why I keep you in the area, man.
Appreciate you, Doc.
All right.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
I don't ever try to.
All right, here we are back from the break talking with TD. I had to have first AJ Brown introduce us to this segment because he was a Patriots fan before he got to the league. And new addition, that is a Boston special right there. But we're going to bring in the Boston GOAT, my guy, ESPN NFL Nation, Patriots reporter, Mike Reese. Mike, what's going on, man?
If it isn't love, why do I feel this way?
That's right.
Why does she stay on my mind? Oh, you just said that. New Edition was my band.
Was
it? I love them. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm starting to go back through, you know, like they got this song, I think, Popcorn Love. Like, I don't know if you know that one.
Yeah, I know that one.
Oh, man.
Candy Girl, Mr. Telephone, man.
Oh man. This is unbelievable, TD. You know what? We gotta get together Saturday night and maybe have like a New Edition rewind. And that's unbelievable. What a great intro. That's the best intro song ever.
There you go. See, I'm all for that. One thing, my older brother, I have one older brother, and the thing that he always tells me is he says, you know, Teron, music is a time machine. And it literally is, because you hear that song, like I hear that song, I think of us, my brothers and I, sitting there with a brush in front of the mirror like it was a microphone. And we each had our parts. I always got to be Johnny Gill, man.
I love it. I love it, TD.
So what's going on in Patriot world? I guess we'll start off. It's obviously, you know, Thanksgiving season. Matthew Judon, I mean, listen, I always liked him as a player, but he lost some points with me with this mac and cheese comment. Tell me what's going on there.
Well, let's start with the context. Is, you know, like, look, we're having a little bit of a lighthearted week, you know, where in addition to the hard-hitting football questions, we're asking some of the guys, what's the one side dish on Thanksgiving that you have to have on the table? And Matthew was like, well, before I tell you that, I'm going to tell you what can't be on the table. And he just kept going and going and going, TD. And so it's been sort of fun to see the reaction to it. And then today it was great. Lawrence Guy, the big defensive tackle, we asked him what he was thankful for, and he said he was thankful that he didn't mention that he didn't like mac and cheese because of the whole reaction to Judon. Sort of funny.
It's hilarious. And then you posted on Twitter the Ryan Tannehill picture with the mac and cheese embedded on his helmet. Like, that's just the ultimate. If you guys didn't see that, I retweeted it. It's on my timeline. Make sure you check it out. That was some really good creativity by you on pulling that out.
TD, you know, it's just like we talk about this a lot, you and me. You know, like, let's not forget to have a little fun,
exactly.
Right? Like, this is sports. And if we can't have a little fun, you know, what are we doing here, right?
No doubt. No doubt about it. So we'll transition over to a familiar face and name for Titans fans, and that's Jonnu Smith. You had a great post about this being a foundational year for him. Not exactly the numbers that I would have expected. I frankly would have thought that Hunter Henry's 7 touchdowns would belong to Jonnu Smith. What has gone on there as far as getting him mixed in, and how can they do it a little bit better?
So, TD, I would say that post, you know, was probably like, I don't want to say like, it was kind, you know, the way it was presented, because mm-hmm. it's been a little bit of a disappointment. You know, I didn't come out and say that because I don't think that's really fair to do that to a guy after just 11 games.
Right.
You know, 22 catches, 210 yards. 1 touchdown, gives you, you know, add in 4 rushes for 20 yards. I mean, I think they expected more from Jonnu at this point, but they're also not thinking this is all that it's going to be. You know, like, it's going to get better. And that's where the foundational sort of terminology comes in. Like, the idea, hey, you come in for a year, learn what the system's all about, you know, and then the there's greater things ahead for you. I think if I had to sort of boil it down, TD, I would say, you know, they can scheme plays for him and mm-hmm. he'll make them. I think what they're trying to get to, TD, is where plays happen or come to him as a result of just sort of the flow of the offense. And they're not quite there yet. And Jonnu, in my view, is grinding through it a little bit.
Yeah, and that's, if there's one thing that Jonnu is, it's a grinder. You know, he will work through whatever situation he has, whatever adversity. I wrote a story about how, you know, his father was killed in a tow truck accident. How is his best friend, you know, got shot and killed. So the thing that's good about all of this, in my opinion, is that he's built for adversity. And nothing that he will see on the football field will outweigh what he's been through in life, you know. So that's something to definitely keep in mind, you know, for those who are doubting his ability to fight through. I'm glad you mentioned that. Let's move on to another guy, right? And I guess, you know, the Patriots have just like all of my favorite guys, man. Nelson Aguilar, you know, he had a touchdown last week. I actually highlighted that in my Whiteboard Wednesday video. How are things going with him and just the receivers overall? I mean, it looks like Hunter Henry is kind of like the leader as far as scoring touchdowns for them. But overall, what's the scoop on the receivers?
So Aguilar. So first thing on the whole receivers, TD, like, there's talk about like expectations. Like, the Patriots went out and paid big money mm-hmm. for Jonnu, for Hunter Henry, 3 years, $37.5 million, for Aguilar, 2 years, $26 million. And so I think, when you're paying big money in free agency, like, it's going to be hard to meet the expectations. Like, it's got to be outstanding. You know, actually, it's got to be like Matthew Judon, right? Like, huh. he's been worth it, 4 years, $56 million. But if we're talking offensively, like, to be honest, it was going to be hard for any of these guys to really put up whatever production or numbers you'd be thinking of to say, you know what, it was worth it. Because you're paying over market.
Right.
You know, and the open market. So Aguilar has, to me, his greatest value to the team has been twofold. One, his speed. So he's opened things up for others just with his ability to get vertical,
mm-hmm.
which the Patriots have lacked at times in recent seasons. And he's been a great mentor to Mac Jones.
Really?
When you have a rookie quarterback, TD, like, you need those veteran guys. And Nelson has been a guy who has reminded Mac, who is incredibly hard on himself. Like he gets so down when things don't go well for him because he has such a high standard. And I think Nelson has helped relax him and reminded him, like, hey, you're a good player. You know, let this one pass you by. And I think Mac has been so much better for Nelson's presence. And I would put Hunter Henry in that category as well. Now, he has 7 touchdowns, TD. So when they get into the red zone,
yeah,
there's a little bit of a chemistry that's developed between Mac and Hunter Henry.
And we're talking to Mike Reese, ESPN NFL Nation, Patriots reporter. I guess we'll wrap it up with the offensive line. Ted Karras is a guy that I've always – I remember seeing him at the East-West Shrine game and that whole week watching him. And now, you know, it's great to see him on a stable part on the offensive line. You got Isaiah Wynn, David Andrews, Shaq Mason, Trent Brown. Like, this is a pretty complete unit. The offensive line, what have you seen from them, and how critical are they to what this Patriots team likes to do?
They are the foundation, TD, which probably isn't, like, much different from a lot of teams. But the key thing to know about the Patriots offensive line is Trent Brown, the big right tackle, he injured his calf on the first drive of the season. And he missed an extended period of time. And when he came back, they put him back at right tackle. And he can just be dominant at times. And it actually bumped Mike Onwenu, a pretty impressive second-year offensive lineman, to like the top backup spot. So Teddy Karras has slid in at left guard and sort of, you know, has never looked back. So you go, you know, Wynn at left tackle is a former first-round pick who's been, I would say, solid, with a few penalty issues at times. Karras at left guard. David Andrews, tremendous leader at center. He's like your Ben Jones. Like, and they're like close buddies from their college days together. Shaq Mason, right guard, solid, can move, you know, gets low. And then you have Trent. And so that's just when Mac has time with that group, you know, giving them time, like they can run the offense. They can function the way they want to function.
And then if we flip it to the other side of the ball, right, this 5-game win streak, which I believe is the longest in the NFL right now after the Titans loss, 13 turnovers over that stretch. That's what the Patriots have generated. Where is this coming from? Do you see, actually, even more importantly, do you see, like, during individual period, like, do they have those, like, ball disruption type of drills? That's what the Titans do here. Do the Patriots do something similar to that?
Absolutely.
There it is.
And TD, really quick, like, look at the third down numbers the last 2 weeks. I think the Browns were like 2 of 11 or 1 of 11, and the Falcons were 1 or 2 of 11. So they're getting teams into third and, you know, long, and then they come out with their exotic sort of different rush stuff. And to me, the combination of that has helped produce some of those turnovers. And I know Mike Vrabel's going to mention this stat to his team at some point. Since 2000, when Belichick became head coach of the Patriots are 172-18 when they win the turnover margin. 172-18. So you get those turnovers, and usually, you know what's coming after that. It's a Patriots win. So Titans coming off that last game, right, against the Texans, you just obviously can't play like that and expect to come up
five turnovers.
And win.
Yeah,
that's right.
So Matthew Judon, you mentioned him. His fit has been like a glove. What is it that has made him fit into this defense so well and excel so quickly?
Wow, I gotta say, I'm surprised at it, TD. You know, I was wondering how it would go, right, coming from Baltimore to New England. What has contributed to it? So a couple things. I would say culture-wise, like just big picture, the Patriots have let him be himself. And players have talked about how he's got, you know, the music in the locker room, and he's a loud, you know, personality. And, you know, he has been able to sort of be himself, and players have embraced him. And I think that's brought out the best in him. He's, like, really enjoyed it. So start with that, and then let's go on the field. Like, a strong end-of-the-line player, you know? So, like, you hear it all the time from Mike, I'm sure. You have to set the edge.
Yes.
Like, if you're going to play in this defense, like, and he's tough, he's physical, and he can rush the passer. And so just the, and he plays on the punt return unit as a rusher.
I didn't know that. Like, really?
So TD, it's all that stuff, right? Like, so he's fully embraced. Like, that's the Patriots. That's the culture. Like, our top guy, we're going to put you on the punt return unit as a rusher. You know what I mean? Like, to me, if we're going to go any, like, what signifies the fit? That probably speaks volumes to it more than anything.
Yeah, just doing your job and going above and beyond. That's an excellent point there. Before I get you out of here, I know, you got time in. What would you say is the most interesting? How many years did you cover the Patriots while Vrabel was there?
I did them all.
Okay. Yeah.
2001 to 2008 was his time here.
When I say Mike Vrabel, what's the first story that comes to your mind?
Crowding around his locker and just like him looking at his watch, being like, all right, guys, you got about 3 minutes here. What do you got? You know, and like we had to be prepared, you know. And then one of my favorite stories that I wasn't part of, but that I heard was how he used to put out like a rocking chair in the team meeting. And if I have the story right, it was because whenever Bill Belichick would talk about the old Giants teams, like Lawrence Taylor and that group, like he just wanted to remind Bill, like, dude, you're old here. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so like, you know, the ball busters, stuff like that, you know.
Well, let me tell you this much. That has not changed. He still is absolutely a ball buster, and none of us are immune to it. He will, at one point or another, get every single one of us in the media here. But, you know, I really like the guy, man. He's awesome to talk shop with. You are awesome to talk shop with. I relish any opportunity we get to talk, man. Like I say in text, you know, I'll bring it public. I look up to what you do. I try to model my work after what you do because – you set the example. You are the pinnacle of NFL Nation reporters. And if I could just, you know, get a fraction of that quality coverage, I'm doing my job.
TD, you inspire me, man. The positivity and the outlook on life, same thing I always tell you, right? Like, so I'm not saying anything that I don't always say. And you're the only one that I would feel comfortable, like, being like, Mr. Telephone Man, there's something wrong with my line. When I dial my baby's number, I get a click every time. I would never do that with anyone else. Like, you're like my guy.
There it is right there. And folks, you see the chemistry, that little duet right there, the Bobby Brown part. That's what we do. Listen, I look forward to catching up with you this weekend, man. I know it's going to be cold, but, yeah, hopefully we can link up on Saturday, and definitely I'll see you Sunday at the game.
Always, TD. If you need anything, I'm here.
All right, likewise. Take care, man. So that was Mike Reese, the GOAT of NFL Nation, talking shop. I always love to just talk ball with him, man. You guys see the chemistry. It's always fun doing that. And you see the chemistry with Chris Sanders, too, man. We get that going on Run TMC. And my guy David, we got that chemistry as well.
We do.
Hitting those switches, making this thing sound good. If you like how it sounds, it's because of him, not me.
Shout out.
I'm the rapper. He's the DJ. That's what Will Smith and the Fresh Prince, the Fresh Prince of DJ Jazzy Jeff, that's what DJ they used Jazzy to say.
Jeff. Yep, exactly. It's just, hey, I'm just here making us sound both good. That's all I care about.
That's what we got to do. So we appreciate each of you for tuning in. Make sure you check out Whiteboard Wednesday. Broke down one of the plays that you'll probably see from the Titans against the Patriots. Then also ESPN.com, check out the work there. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Definitely look forward to sitting down and getting some food in me.
Some grub.
I'll be on ESPN NFL Radio. Make sure you check that out overnight, Friday and Saturday. I'll be on from 6 to 11 p.m.
You gotta check
and
it out, guys.
As always, we are right here, 102.5 The Game, thegamenashville.com. God bless. Good night.